Feel incredible!
It's not a cartoon! It's anime!
Yes! Welcome to another episode of Animation.
You see that comment? Yeah, I left in the comment. Yo, our Patreon is hilarious. Yeah. Sorry.
I feel like Brendan is so tight. Why is Brendan so tight over here? And then Rob is like...
Well, he's closer to the camera than we are.
Rob moves a little closer to you.
But either way, hilarious. Our Patreon. Yeah, so if you're part of our Patreon, you'd know. You get to watch our the live stream while we're doing this. And we had a very interesting conversation before this. We normally have a pre-conversation before we get into the recording. I'm not going to get into what that conversation
was. No, let's not.
Yeah.
But let's not. All I'll say is that Ronald Mitchell was just like, this is well worth the $5, which is hilarious. I feel offended. I will say that. I am offended and hurt. But that's how you feel, Ronald.
Oh, man. So, you know what it is. Welcome to another episode of Animation. The squad is back in three quarters of effect. Myself, Rob, Brennan, no bitch ass, hoe ass Ice in the building. You know what I'm saying? Everybody get the treatment, man. If Rob wasn't here, he get the treatment too.
That's true.
If I wasn't here, I would hope you give me the same treatment.
I got the treatment when I was here last week.
You did.
Because we missed you, man. We haven't seen you in a long time. But that's the difference. If you would have been here consistently, then you wouldn't get the treatment. Well, you wouldn't get treatment for me like that. I can't speak for anybody else.
If you would be here consistently, I'm actually pretty fairly consistent. I have streaks.
Okay, you have consistent streaks.
Streaks?
Okay. Yeah, I'm either here for a while or I'm not. It's pretty consistent.
All right, that's fair enough. That's fair. All right. Well, you know what we're doing here. Join that Patreon, man. Patreon.com/animation. Hit them with the S-H-U-N on that shun.
Yeah.
This is just off topic, but, you know, Wednesday I'll be married, guys. You know what I'm saying? I'll be married on Wednesday.
By time man, then. I'm so excited to be at your wedding. He actually has Rob and I standing in his wedding. So it's going to be really good. The pictures are going to be super epic. So I'm really excited, man. Thank you so much for including
us
in your time.
Here's the thing. I felt bad for a while that I couldn't invite a lot of people because I can only have 8 people at this wedding because we're doing a courthouse wedding. So and then I talked to one of my closest friends that I grew up with. And he's just like, yo, man, at the end of the day, don't stretch yourself out over financially not being able to do it, you know, to do what you have to do. You know, and I think Rob and I just kind of talked a little bit too before too. It was just like, yo, man, I would love to have all my people there. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But it's I also don't want to. If it was somebody else, I wouldn't want to put that pressure on them to have to pay for anything for me. If you're struggling for that, and it's not like a struggle to where we're like poor, but it's just like one of those things. Like, all right, either a big wedding, go for broke, or save as much money as possible so we can either do a nice honeymoon
or save up for a house.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
I always recommend the house.
Exactly.
Yeah. Not right now, though. Not them interest rates the way they are.
Exactly.
It's going to crash soon.
No, I don't know.
From what I heard, California ain't going to be crashing like that.
The funny part is, I know we're about to get into real estate talk, but the funny thing to me is like, I actually can't believe it. I can't believe I'm saying this. It looks like what the Fed was attempting to do is working, which means that nothing's going to crash. Housing prices are going down. The only thing that hasn't changed is the demand, and the market is still lower than the supply, you know, and still higher than the supply. So people are still buying everything, but less people are able to buy things, which means the prices are going down immediately. Because for me, I was in the market. Now I am not. I can't deal with these interest rates.
No, it's insane.
I can't even deal with them. So I'm like, I'm not bidding on nothing. I'm chilling.
Would you rather move outside of California?
I have no choice but to stay here. I am stuck here for at least about another 17 years.
Okay,
I'm gonna be in LA.
I wasn't even putting that together. I apologize.
That's all good. I got three more years in this building.
He has confidence in it. It's great. Back to the anime stuff. You know, last week we did the whole Chainsaw Man and Bleach and stuff like that. This week we are doing My Hero. We wanted to catch up on that and get that to you guys. My Hero's episode 1 through 5, season 6. I low-key didn't even know the show was fucking airing at this point.
I was so mad. I was so mad at Keenan.
And then Brennan texted me, was just
No, I called you, nigga.
Yeah, you called me. Yeah.
Yeah.
he called all of us.
He called me
one by one.
With good reason. Was I wrong?
No, I mean.
This season's heating up, man.
Heating up, he says. This shit started with flames.
Well, you gotta understand something. I didn't watch the end of season 5, and then I know Rob kept telling me about what was going on. You were telling me about what was going on. I was like, all right, I'll get to it. And so I had to watch those episodes here. But before we get into that, as always, we have a nice little weekly poll. I believe this is Ice's poll, right? The Halloween poll?
It is. And I've not seen all of these shows that he put on here. So hopefully you guys can help me out a little bit with some context. But the poll was, where would be the worst place to work up wake up in anime? Like, you go to sleep, you wake up in a place. Where would be the scariest place to wake up? Obviously, out of these choices, I'm sure there's some other places we could...
Can I add one that's not on here really quick? I'll do it afterwards.
Yeah.
So out of the choices, the winner we had was Dead Man Wonderland. Mm-hmm. You know, the prison theme park part of the same name as the show, Dead Man Wonderland. That one, with when I made the post, it was 50% of the vote. It went down a little bit because it changed a little bit. But 49% of the vote was Dead Man Wonderland. And granted, that would be an awful place to wake up. Listen, none of these places are good to wake up in.
You know what's funny? There's a place over here that I wouldn't be necessarily afraid of that I know, because I don't know the Junji 2 collection.
Yeah, that one I don't know.
And I necessarily don't know Naruto's one either.
Junji Ito, he's a famous horror anime writer, so like you think of something very fucked up.
That makes sense.
Got you.
Grace Fieldhouse was number 2 from Promised Neverland. Mm-hmm. I assume that's where the children go when they get, quote-unquote, adopted, air quotes.
Yep.
Oh, that's the one I was going to say. It's right there. I'll shut up. Yeah.
Yep.
Holy shit. Holy
That'd be a
shit.
Bad place.
Holy
you know
shit.
What's funny? Oh, you're going to keep going? And
I would not want to wake up there.
Yeah, let me
God
yeah,
damn.
Let me get through it. Yeah.
Let me get through it, and then you guys, we can all comment on, you know, which. But Oshiriki's House, which is part of the Junji Ito collection, which Cam just said he's a horror anime writer. I haven't seen any of this stuff. I've read some, like, horror manga, and those are always, like, fucked up.
Yeah.
There's one about, like, oh, this is my whole, like, yeah, this is my shape. I have to go into it. Have you guys ever seen that one? It's wild. Mm-hmm. I won't get too much into it, but essentially, like, there's this cliff they find. It's got, like, all these weird, like, body shapes, and people feel compelled to, like, walk through this canyon that, like, totally distorts their body. It's really creepy. It's kind of like a Twilight Zone thing. Anyway, then there's Orochimaru's experiment prison, which I haven't necessarily got to that part of Naruto. I know you guys don't really watch it, but Orochimaru, he's, like, definitely experiments in, like, undead stuff. He's, like, trying to, like, unlock, like, secret jutsus that are much about, like, immortality and, like, putting souls into different people's body and, like, continuing his life. So I imagine whatever he's experimenting on is pretty fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
What he's making people do down there to figure out those secrets. And there's the cursed brothel from Demon Slayer. That one might not be so bad. I guess depends on...
Yeah.
That one's mostly dangerous for the
women, really, right?
The women, essentially, that are working there. If you are, I guess, prettier than
you're a
Dami.
Guy going in there to pay, you probably have a great ass time. Like, that felt draining.
I guess unless you were there that one night.
Yeah,
one night it was bad to be
in that city.
That
in
particular
general,
city.
Yeah.
That place got destroyed.
Yeah, a lot of people died.
And then last, it tied with the cursed brothel was Fujimi Academy out of High School of the Dead, which I've not seen, but I know obviously it got 2% of the vote along with the cursed brothel. A lot of people were saying, it's not so bad. But have you guys seen High School of the Dead?
No.
I've heard of it, but I haven't seen it.
I've not seen it.
Yeah. I've heard pretty good things about it, too.
But apparently it would be maybe a bad place to wake up. I don't know.
Which one would you pick?
Worst place? Dead Man Wonderland. Like, out of the ones I've seen, actually, which isn't a ton. But maybe Dead Man Wonderland, I would say. It is pretty bad. Like,
it's pretty
maybe
bad, but I'm taking Grace Fieldhouse all day.
Here's why I'm not taking Grace Fieldhouse. When am I waking up? Am I waking up as 36-year-old Kenan?
No, you can't do that.
I'm just saying, we didn't say that. We're not setting parameters. I don't know what the parameters are.
Well, I'm saying if you wake up in that place, you have to be appropriate for that place.
So if I'm waking up as, what's the oldest you can be again? 5, 6?
12? 11? 11, 12?
Was that old?
Yeah. Think about some of the 5 or 6 year olds are little kids in the show.
If I'm 11 years old waking up there, I'm confident out of all the bad shit I did as a kid, I'll be fine. Confident.
You think you can get out?
I think I'll be out of there. You understand that at that particular point, I've seen hell of abuse. I've seen some wild shit just in general. And I knew how to mentally be like, let's fucking go. I know this is a young age.
To me, this, I hate this that I'm about to make this equivalent. It's not equivalent, but a comparison. And that this to me sounds like when a black person is just like, man, I wouldn't have been no slave.
Nah.
That's
what
it sounds like. Because it's like, you know, you look at these kids and I'm just like.
I go off situations that I've been in, right?
Them kids are smarter than me now.
I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is I'm going off. Rob pushed the mic away like I'm not in this conversation. But what I'm saying is that I looked at the situations that I've been in and how I started to view them and how I was like, all right, I'm not letting this happen to me. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not saying that even with slavery, I'm not saying that I wouldn't have been a slave, but I probably would have been dead in a motherfucker. I can say that in that sense. But I don't know, depending on the situation. But
all I'm saying is you have to imagine that there was all these people in that situation, and the vast majority of them just dealt with it because they had to. And so if that's the case, there must be a lot of external circumstances that are making that so.
Well, I mean, it's hard to speak on stuff like that when because there's a lot of reading and watching people have to do, because a lot of people actually didn't just stay there and take it. A lot of motherfuckers revolted that they don't talk about. There's
a lot of revolts.
The Seminole Wars, the Gullah Wars. Anyways, but like I said before, like I'm going off how my mindset was even as a kid. I've seen a lot of wild stuff. We've seen different things, Brendan. I understand that. Like I said, I've seen a lot of abuse before the age of 11.
It does remind me of this post, and I think it's what Denzel Moten in the chat's referencing. If I was at Chernobyl, I would have stopped it. Bro, my grandmother was there, and she got like 20 diseases in 2 hours. LOL, not worth it.
No.
RIP to your grandma, but I'm different.
What? Yo!
Well, also, too, we're coming from the mindset of what we're in now. If that fear is put on you, like, let's say, like, the fear of slave, like, let's say your mother was a slave and you're born into slavery. You're going to have a different fear, of course, right?
Well, and there's a herd mentality. It's very much so that if a ton of people are doing one thing and no one's stopped and something else is happening, everyone's going to fall in line with all the other people are doing.
For sure. And if the 11-year-old Keenan was sitting there having a good time in his life and then all of a sudden I woke up, I was like, what the fuck is this? Hey, man, they be motherfucking eating kids when they hit a certain age.
Well, I mean, that's the other thing.
I'm out of here.
For the most part, they don't even know. That's the worst part.
That's the thing is you're probably getting caught off
guard. You're
probably
just thinking you're about to go get adopted. Then you'll open your head up and eat your fucking brain.
Hey, man, once old boy would have came back and been like, they out here eating us.
Well, I will say, Dead Man Wonderland, nobody got out of there.
That's my pick. My pick is
one
jail has always been a thing that, even though, not that I fantasize about, but you know, I always have in my head, like, man, if I went to jail and I knew martial arts, I'll fuck people up.
Jail
versus
factory.
But I don't know martial arts.
This is a jail. Would you rather go to a jail or a factory farm? Like, that's the question here. Either way, high probability you ain't getting out.
Yeah, it's high odds at both places. You're done.
There it is. It's like, yeah, that's rough. So out of those are the ones I kind of just know too. I mean, Demon Slayer Brothel. I mean, like you said, they wasn't really coming after us like that. In there, so I mean,
might be a fun place to be.
I guess
depending on when you wake up, might be a great place to wake up.
Depending on the day.
I just came from Houston. We went to the strip club. It was low key.
Brothels and strip clubs.
Yo, shout out to people in Houston, man. A lot of animation people showed up from that Houston show.
Shout out to
y'all too. I mean, y'all have some of those. That y'all strip club game is trash.
Say, yo, Sir Spectacular Spider said, "I know martial arts. I do not want to be in jail at all."
Yeah. And so
you're expecting to be able to use martial arts in jail. Like, well, and no, you're not gonna have an opportunity.
Exactly.
You're gonna get hit with a club.
Exactly. And that was my mentality. Is like, you watch these movies of like these people that know like Wesley Snipes being in jail for, I forgot what movie it was, like Lockdown, whatever it's called.
I was gonna say, you guys didn't see this last season of Cobra Kai, clearly, because like there's Sensei was doing some stuff in the jail.
No, the thing is, like, if you know martial arts and you go to jail, it's 1,000% a benefit to just, you.
Yeah. I mean,
huge
benefit. Still, it's gonna be.
But why the fuck would you want to go to jail?
Yeah. No way.
So let me give a quick shout out to Chuck the Elevator Man. He came through from Houston Animation.
Beep, 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 beep.
Here's the picture that we took together with him and his lady.
Beep, 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 beep.
And yeah, he's recommended anime to me. He's been a fan for like a while now.
Let's go, Chuck.
So I appreciate that, dog. And
pull up, Chuck.
And yeah, but that's my fantasy. My fantasy is watching like Michael Jai White when he's in prison and he's fucking people. I was like, yeah, man, if that was me, I'll break the biggest guy's arm first. And like, I'm like, all right, wait a second. Let's be realistic here. That's not going to fucking happen.
No.
I'm a dead man walking.
You're going to grab it. It's not going to break.
You got pretty eyes, bro.
Yeah.
You're light skinned little and got pretty eyes. Best of luck.
No.
Best of luck, Keenan.
No.
You're going to get up in there and be like, oh, I like the way you smile. No. I wasn't smiling. I wasn't talking about with your mouth, boy.
Keenan just starts powering up in that, and they're going to leave him alone.
I don't know if they would, but I like them like that.
They're like, I like it when they scream.
Yeah. That's the type of scream you're going to make? Oh, shit.
Yeah,
I like my bitches bald.
Let's see that squirm.
As soon as the dude goes, I like my bitches bald, I'm like, all right, man. This is going to be rough.
I'm killing myself. I am killing myself.
I'm out of there, bro.
I mean, look, I think if I was in that situation, I feel like it would be like Shawshank Redemption. You fight the good fight every time. Sometimes you win, sometimes you don't.
Sometimes you do not.
I'm just saying, like, but I'm fighting every fucking time. Oh, you know this booty God. Ain't going for nothing easy. You gonna feel it just like I'm gonna feel it.
I forgot. I think somebody has a joke about that, about how like it's like every day if you had to fight, like you'd be like, I'm gonna make it to where it's like you don't want to fight. Yeah. Every like you'd be like, oh, man, Keenan.
I'm gonna go for the guy who doesn't fight.
Exactly.
That's what I'm saying. Every time I'm gonna fight. So it's just like
Britton be like, oh, Britton be feisty, man. Let me go get Cam over there. Cam over there, he don't be.
It's like, I always have to like submit him physically. Like that's not fun. It's like, no, it's not.
All right, knowing that that's not happening to us, I'm laughing, but I know it's a fucked up situation.
He keeps a razor in his booty.
Oh my God.
I want to say how, man.
That's not good for anybody.
I figured it out though. It can cut that junk in two.
Anyways,
Jesus Christ. Jesus,
yeah, wow.
You're welcome, guys, for visuals.
So happy Halloween, everybody.
Happy Halloween, man. So
body mutilation.
Thank you for that. Thank you for the poll results. And there's no Ice on this episode too, because Ice hasn't watched My Hero. He's like probably two seasons behind, he said.
It's something like that. He's like, I think he was still in season four. I don't think he finished after Overhaul, which is season four.
Yeah, he promised me he was gonna catch up though.
Yeah, so. I think at some point he will catch up, and I think he'll
watch at the same time Keenan watches Mob Psycho season.
Oh, you motherfucker. Perfect. You
yo.
Cam, bro, you didn't have the cam on when you said that, man. You ain't gonna have the cam on.
I still watch My Hero the time that Keenan watches Bob Psycho season 2.
You're a jerk, bro. Cut the camera off, man.
Ice will finish first.
You know, you asshole, man. Bob's not even, it's a whole 12 episodes.
So what are we talking about today, Keenan, your punk ass?
We're talking about My Hero, which I finished because I was behind on that too. My Hero season 6 episodes 1-5, man. Are we actually going to be recapping those, or we're just going to kind of go over it?
Yeah. I got them.
Can I lead you in? Can I lead you in?
But Brennan, if you want to give us a quick.
Oh, you know I got you.
Yeah.
Concise. All right. So what
I didn't have to be that quick. I mean, shit, I'm about to read 4 pages of solid text. So go ahead.
All right. So pretty much what I wanted to do is give you guys just like a real quick. If you haven't been watching My Hero, I'm just going to give you like a super quick reminder of what happened when. Because if we reference anything in these seasons, this will make it a lot easier.
Yeah.
So season 1 of My Hero Academia, you probably remember this is introducing the show, introducing Deku, introducing All Might, and also introducing the Nomus. So that's how that season ended with All Might beating the shit out of that Nomu. Mm-hmm. It was an epic fight. Season 2, this is where we have the kids fighting against each other, or the students fighting against each other. We have that.
Yep.
Immediately after that, we were meeting Gran Torino, which leads us right into the Stain, the hero killer, which is pretty intense. And it ends with the pretty much Bakugo and what's his name? Midoriya. Fighting against All Might. You guys remember when he did that?
I do,
All Might had the weights on and stuff like that. That was pretty much the end of the season. So that season was excellent. Season 3, another great season. This one starts out hot. This is where we have Coda, the little boy that didn't like heroes. We see Midoriya fight the Muscle Man while they're on the camp away from...
I didn't like Coda at all.
Well, I mean, but I like what he represented. You know what I'm saying? Like, in the sense of, like, I liked that Coda had to be there for that moment to be as epic as it was. So I love that moment. That's one of my favorite moments of the whole show. Is when he's just like, "Die, Jovey!" You know, and he punches the guy like, you know, 1,000,000% or whatever, which is insane. This season also brings us the final fight of All Might, at least the final fight we believe we're going to see.
Yep.
This is where he is the symbol of peace. Symbol of peace. He ends with his fists in the air after defeating All for One. And All for One gets carted away. That's not the end of the season, though. That's actually the middle of the season. After that, we kind of get into like getting their provisional licenses. And then at the end of the season, we see Deku and Kachan, or Bakugo, scrapping it out.
Yes.
Deku caught that work, in case anybody was wondering.
For what I am calling the final time.
Yeah, I would agree with that too. That's not going to happen again.
Ever going to happen?
That's not going to happen. Bakugo is going to hold on to that for the rest of their time that they'll ever exist.
Remember that time?
Yeah, that's what it's going
to
be.
We'll see.
Yeah, I stand by that. So season 4 starts out with us getting into the hero agencies. We meet Lemillion. We meet whatever his name is, the guy with the eye. They can see the future.
Yeah, Night Eye.
Night Eye. We get Night Eye. We get into this is the Overhaul arc. Which is probably the best arc of the show so far, which is crazy. Lemillion goes crazy on these hoes. And then, you know, at the end of this season, what we end up doing is we end up losing Night Eye.
Our first real casualty in the show, to be honest.
We learned about the hero billboard chart and Endeavor. This is also the I'm gonna say it. This is the stupid season that has the stupid band thing.
One, two, three,
it was so
four.
Dumb. I hated that so much. That was so unnecessary. But the season ends strong with Endeavor. It's time for his watch. This is when he takes on that Nomu with Hawks and, you know, what was it? Prominence Burn!
Hey,
you know,
and he got after it.
Yeah, he got after it. But it's funny to think about it. It's like it took the number one and the number two hero to take out one Nomu. Which is like, okay.
I think he beat someone without him, but yeah.
You think what?
I think
Endeavor would have won without him.
I think he just suffers more for sure. I think he gets probably more fucked up.
I think
up.
He probably dies. He takes him with him, but I think he dies if he doesn't have Hawks there. Because then he wouldn't be able to get up to him. Or he wouldn't have been able to release in the way that he did. Because he wouldn't have done that kind of a prominence burn in the populated area. Because it would have killed a bunch of people.
Yeah.
So he had the power to kill the Nomu, but he couldn't do it unless he got up to the space where he felt comfortable not killing other people.
I see.
So that leads us to season five. Season five is pretty much, you know, it starts off with the hero classes, class A versus class B. You guys remember this is them just kind of training.
Kids fighting each other again.
Yeah, kids fighting each other. This is kind of what got us into it in season one. And, you know, sometimes that's fun. It was okay. To me, at least. I was like, this is average at best. The worst part of the show is actually the school, which is hilarious. It's called My Hero Academia, but the school time outside of... Yeah, the school times. Because that was the band stuff,
too. It was cool at first, for the first few seasons. Now I don't really care for it.
We did get a lot of backdrop on Todoroki and his family in this season, which is I think is really important. But the most important thing that happened is at the end of the season is really when My Villain Academia pulled up. And we get the real sad... Like, we get the sad parade episode, which is crazy. Mm. We get the... what was it called? The big organization? The villains?
What were they called?
The League of Villainy pretty much merges with the... Liberation Front.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They merge at the end of this season after Tomaru Shigaraki. Pretty much, we get his entire origin story, which is one of the most devastatingly sad origin stories of all time.
Destroyed his whole fucking family,
which is crazy. And so we end that season pretty much with the heroes planning to go take on the Liberation Front because Hawks is double agenting and feeding information in the books about what the Liberation Front is to Endeavor as well as to the other heroes. That left us at the end of that season where we're just like, yo, this is probably the biggest setup season, but also probably the worst season out of all five thus far. And now that leads us to where Rob is. We are now at season six.
Do you think Shigaraki's dad deserved it? Everybody else we know they deserve
it. I'm not a fan of the death penalty, but I do think he deserves some form of reckoning. I wouldn't call it that.
Yeah, that seems like maybe a step too far, but I mean he
what about a leg or an arm or something?
No, he deserves to get his ass whooped. Maybe there's no question. Like, he could I believe in ass whoopings. You know what I'm saying? So I believe like he could have like, you know, like all for one could have pulled up and just been like, you know, like broke every bone in your body. Good job healing for the next 6 months. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like that'd have been okay. But, like, the disintegrating you because you no longer exist?
Damn.
That's some real shit. That's some real shit. That's a crazy power to have as a child. How does that lead us into season six, Rob?
Yeah, so season six, that's where we're at. We open up on a huge villain meeting as Reed Destro named Shigaraki the leader of the Meta Liberation Army, and it's merging with the League of Villains, naming themselves the Paranormal Liberation Front. Shigaraki addresses the crowd saying, hey, the name is different, but the movement is all about just doing whatever you want. Hawks, still spying on the group, thinks to himself that, hey, Shigaraki, with all his upgrades and army, may have more power than the heroes. Later, Hawks...
Wait, I'm sorry. I have to stop you. Your dad pulled up into the chat. What up,
he
Harvey?
Said, yo, sir,
what's up,
Dad? Checking in with the guys.
Super Rob has been announced. He's wearing his cape.
I got
your
my
dad
cape
is here.
On.
I fucking love your dad.
Very fitting. Yes.
You know I love your dad.
How you doing, sir?
I love you, Mr. Fonda.
Appreciate you being here in the chat. I got the cape on it. Fitting with theme with the episode. We'll
you'll
we'll definitely
see why.
Get there
oh,
in the recap.
You really are very appropriate today, Rob.
Yes.
Well done.
Yeah, thank you. So later, Hawks has a conversation with Twice, who has been tasked with watching him to make sure he's not a spy. And it's clear they've struck up a friendship, which makes sense because Twice, along with Dobby, Toga and some of the other League of Villains are now lieutenants in the army. And it's clear from a flashback that Twice even trusts Hawks enough to give him the a hint to where Shigaraki's secret location is while he's getting his upgrades. As Hawks gives Twice a friendly goodbye, he realizes that the heroes will have to strike first if they don't want to be wiped out by the villains' plan to attack all over Japan at once. But he regrets that this will ruin their friendship. Just about all the heroes on the roster get a briefing of the plan to attack the two main bases of the Paranormal Liberation Front at the same time. One is the army's hideout, while the other is the hospital with Dr. Garaki, who they believe has no quirk, is secretly upgrading Shigaraki's powers and experimenting with no moves. They plan to split the two teams, augmented by support from some of the students from UA. Endeavor will lead the evacuation of the hospital, along with the capture of the doctor and Shigaraki with his team, while Eggshot will lead the raid on the army compound. As the squad at the HQ gets ready to charge in, we see the students from classes 1A and 1B mixed in with the advanced team like Kaminari and Tokuyami. And in the rear guard, you got people like Deku, Bakugo, and Todoroki. And they wonder why, like, hey, why are some of us, you know, chosen to hit the front while some of us more powerful, like, one-on-one fighters are being left in the back? But Momo realizes they sent everybody good with large area attacks to the front to take out as many villains as possible as fast as they could. And everybody in the front has quirks built for that, while those in the back are just better individual fighters to pick off stragglers. And I'm sure that will wind up being for, you know, some big fights later on. Meanwhile, at the hospital, Endeavor starts with the evacuation and thinks about all Hawks has done to make sure that they weren't caught by surprise. He and Eraserhead, backed up by several other heroes, march into the hospital and catch Dr. Garaki by surprise. Then, when Eraserhead activates his quirk suppression, their suspicions are confirmed. Actually, Garaki has a secret power that has been keeping him from aging to be as old as he is, which has helped keep All for One alive longer and is even part of the root of the Nomo healing factor. As President Mike starts roughing up the doctor, Eraserhead reminds him, hey, we want a bloodless victory here. That would be best. The Nomus basically can only, you know, fight when given orders, but the doctor laughs as Nomus break up from below and start to surround the pro hero Mirko, looking for Shigaraki underground. Clearly not as much of a surprise attack as they thought. Worst of all, the Dr. Garaki that they had captured was just a twice copy, and it dissolves into mud. The real Garaki is guarding Shigaraki downstairs while he upgrades and starts sending in more powerful Nomus to fight. But Mirko wastes no time using her souped-up kicking powers from her rabbit quirk to fatally kick these Nomus one by one.
She is for real. Can we just take a moment with how real she is?
Oh, yeah, well, she's respected, for sure.
Good Lord. Because this makes me wonder about the Orca motherfucker, because she has all the powers of a rabbit, and she's over here beating fucking ass.
Yeah, I'm sure he's powerful as hell, and then he probably can have some type of water skill.
I hope he has some kind of echolocation or something. Like, I can know everything that's going on around me.
Yeah, that's pretty dope. I mean, it would make sense, given he's got all the whale powers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Above ground, though, Endeavor, Locke, President Mike, and Eraserhead team up to thin out the Nomus and start fighting their way down to help Mirko while updating the whole team of the situation. Meanwhile, we see Deku, Ochaku, Todoroki, Iida, and Bakugo are helping to evacuate the village nearby the compound, though, you know, Bakugo somewhat reluctantly. As Mirko chases down Garaki, one of his pet Nomus gets in the way just as she was about to capture him, and it allows him just enough time to activate his group of super powerful Nomus that are even able to think for themselves. One of them pushes the shield hero Crust back into the entrance hallway just as he enters to help Mirko, blocking any more reinforcements, and the other punches the isolated Mirko into a group of vats as Garaki escapes to be with Shigaraki, who is near 70% completion. Mirko, however, isn't the number 5 hero for nothing, and when she emerges from the vats, she licks the blood off her cheek and sprints after Garaki. The superpowered Nomus chase after her. She dodges.
Is about that life!
She dodges, ducks, dips, dies, and dodges all over their attacks.
They want it!
Lands a few of her own massive kicks of her own.
Yes.
And when one with spatial manipulation twists her arm into a pretzel, she charges him and, clenching with her thighs around his neck, rips his head off.
Man,
completely.
She is not here for games.
One of the Nomus down and 3 to go. She gets back up and tells them that she is ready to die if it comes to it, but these will not be the people to kill her. At the compound, Momo comforts Keiuka, who is worried about Kaminari fighting on the front. And it seems like it's for good reason, because he's also scared. But Midnight gives him a pep talk to, you know, hey, fight for those you care about. And he, too, thinks of Keiuka. Up ahead, Cementos is the first hero to reach the compound, and he uses his powers to just rip the entire front of the building off, exposing all the villains within, sending them into a panic. And an electric-powered villain calmly walks forward to deploy his electric net attack that widely spreads over the advancing heroes, but Kaminari is exactly where he needs to be, grounding the attack and rendering it completely ineffective, making his teammates proud. Elsewhere, the heroes destroy the exits outside the building. Below ground, Redestro starts to put together that, hey, we're being surrounded, and starts to activate his stress powers. Above ground, the electric villain tries to up his voltage, but Eggshot arrives on the scene, folding himself up and stabbing through 14 villains at once, leaving a hole in their lungs, which basically leaves them incapacitated. He's like, you can chill here, be fine, or you can chase after me and you can basically drown in your own blood. Your choice. Midnight then leaps into action, putting another large group of villains to sleep, followed by Kamui Woods, who binds another group, immobilizing them. Mudman then makes others sink into the ground, while Kinoko uses her mushrooms to fill the villains' lungs with spores. And it seems the hero attack is thinning out the weaker villains in droves. Inside, Hawks has Twice cornered with his sharp feathers, and his betrayal is revealed. He tells Twice, hey, surrender. I can turn you in. I think you're a good person deep down. And he also knows that Twice would be a huge threat if he joined the battle. But because of including Overhaul, this is the second time Twice has let his friends be in danger due to trusting somebody. He has a complete mental break. He starts multiplying to attack Hawks, despite the feathers cutting through him and Hawks' promise. You know, basically, he's just like, hey, let me just put this down. I can help you start over. Outside, the heroes try and push underground. Sun Eater uses his powers to knock the defenders out of the way, and Tokuyami gets into the dark, releasing his shadow demon. He clashes with Reed Destro, who is strong enough to stop him, but the shadow still caves in the passageway, trapping the villains below. When he returns, the shadow warns them about the monster Gigantomachia that he saw below, waiting for orders. Upstairs, Twice has filled the room with copies of himself and his villain friends, but Hawks just slices him all down. He holds Twice down at Feather Sword Point, tells him, hey, don't move or I will be forced to kill you. But Twice can't give up on his friends and continues to fight. Hawks goes in for the kill, but Blue Flame fills the room as Dobby comes into Twice's rescue. Dobby puts a foot on Hawks and is about to incinerate him and Twice, but Hawks manages to carry Twice to safety. Hawks is singed, but still mobile enough to dodge Dobby's flames, who shockingly seems to know Hawks' secret identity. Hawks' surprise creates an open for Twice, who leaves and creates, or I'm sorry, Dobby's surprise creates an opening for Twice to leave, creates some copies of himself to help his friends Toga and Mr. Compress, who are captured by a hero. Twice stabs the hero, repeatedly killing him, but as they thank him, his copy starts to dissolve, and he apologizes to Toga for failing them as he slowly disappears, as upstairs, Hawks has run him through with his feather sword, killing the villain Twice once and for
all. That was pretty sad.
Yeah. On the battlefield, the pro hero Fat Gum is transporting the students away from the battle, but Tokuyami notices Dobby's blue flames erupting from the top floor. He thinks back to his time interning under Hawks, and his old employer told him, hey, if I had one weakness, it's probably fire. And he just instinctively knows my old boss is in trouble. So, unable to leave him behind, he breaks free of Fat Gum's stomach, the first person to ever do that, apparently, and goes back to help Hawks. His fears are well justified as Dobby is burning Hawks' wings in revenge for Twice. Hawks demands to know who he is, given he knew all about his secret identity, and he says he's a disciple of Stain, number one, looking to kill fake heroes, and Dobby also gives his name, which seems to shock Hawks, but we don't hear it, though I'm sure we all have our
suspicions. Know it's Endeavor's son.
At this point, it's pretty clear.
Who else? The Probably. Flames?
Sorry. At the hospital, Endeavor arrives to the underground hallway to help Crust and the laser hero, X-less.
Hold on a second. You just validated. You
no, I didn't validate anything.
You looked at me and shook your head yes.
I looked at me and I was like, all right, that's a good guess. It's a good guess.
I hate Canada.
You said it, motherfucker.
Just go.
Don't say anything to me.
At the hospital, Endeavor arrives into the underground hallway to help Crust and laser hero, X-less, one who wears a red cape, to get to the Super Nomu and help Mirko. She continues to fight hard on her own, though, against three Super Nomu, though she realizes they are getting stronger while she is getting weaker, so she powers through them to get to where Shigaraki is in hibernation. And as one of the Nomus impales her legs, Endeavor arrives with a well-timed punch that allows her to get the room she needs to land a huge kick, cracking Shigaraki's tube. As Garaki screams in frustration, the Nomu throws a very hurt Mirko at Endeavor, so he cauterizes her wounds while the other heroes work to keep the Super Nomus busy. Eraserhead is able to neutralize her powers, allowing Present Mike to run ahead and unleash a sonic scream, finishing breaking Shigaraki's tube while he was only at 74% completed. He punches and captures a defeated Garaki while X-less keeps an eye on the unconscious Shigaraki. In his own mind, Shigaraki has a vision of the family that he killed, but despite their pleas and scolding for Yusa's powers for good and evil, he says his only desire is destruction, and he turns them all to ash once again. In the real world, X-less lasers the machines upgrading Shigaraki, but the liquid from his tube hits a live wire from the wreckage, giving Shigaraki a shock, waking him from his slumber. He stands and places a hand on X-less's head,
that was
turning
so
him
dumb.
To He's dust.
Like,
I
should. Everything seems fine. Let me just blow something up. Like, yep. I hate you.
And so he turns that man to dust and takes his cape to warm himself. More heroes, including Gran Torino, rush to the basement after a tough fight, including several huge fire blasts from Endeavor. They are able to take the Super Nomus down once and for all, just about. At the Villain Army HQ, Dobby is about to finish Hawks when Tokuyami arrives, kicking Dobby and using Dark Shadow to cover Hawks' badly burned body. Dobby taunts Tokuyami, pointing out, hey, Look at my buddy Twice's dead body. Hawks is responsible for that. Would a hero do that? Would he stab a man in the back? Is that really what a hero is? And with the light from Dobby's flames,
good
Dark
question,
Shadow is too weak to fight back, but Tokuyami is able to escape with Hawks. Dobby plans for this, though, and is about to roast them both when a surprise ice wall from the villain Geten erupts from the basement, and it's distraction enough to let Tokuyami escape with Hawks. Gaiden urges the villains to fight as one as they train for, and underground, Reed Destro notices that Gigantomachia is starting to awaken from his slumber as he can tell Shigaraki has been freed. Outside the hospital, UA students are helping to evacuate the town when Deku gets a voice in his head speaking to him. It's the original One for All user saying, "Someone with great power is about to awaken and change the world, and it's up to Deku to stop him." At that moment, Shigaraki unleashes a huge wave of decay, and the heroes at the hospital are forced to run for their lives. Gran Torino grabs present Mike in a thrilled Garaki, while Eraserhead grabs onto the claw of the dragon hero Ryukyu. However, as the Nomu tries to drag him down to his doom, the Nomu almost succeeds, but Crust cuts off the Nomu's arm, saving Eraserhead, but getting himself caught up in the decay, turning to dust himself.
Big smile, thumbs up. Big smile, thumbs up.
Terminator 2 just down into the lava.
Oh, dog.
Yo, he's a G for that, man.
He was.
I'm a fan of him now.
Yep.
I was a fan, I should say.
R.I.P. All those riding on Gran Torino, Ryokyu, and Endeavor, who was carrying Mirko, flee out of the hospital. Several heroes on the street try to stop the decay, but their efforts are futile. And several more get caught up in the attack, killing them instantly. As they look on in horror, Deku knows that deep down Shigaraki is responsible. And he and the other students try to grab as many civilians as possible to get to safety. Though in the end, it's hard to tell who exactly got away. At its epicenter, Shigaraki looks out over the destruction. Nearby, he finds several of Overhaul's power racing bullets that Garaki had manufactured, but they all seem to be broken. That doesn't seem to bother him much, though, as he picks up his phone, reaching out to Gigantomachia, telling the giant underling that time to start the real fight has begun. And that's where episode 5 of season 6 of My Hero Academia ends.
Yeah.
Woo! Well done, Rob.
This is gonna be a great damn good job, Rob.
I called you so excited.
You did. Yeah,
he did.
I called both of them because neither one of them had seen any of it. And at that point, I think, what, 3 or 4 episodes were out?
I didn't know. Did you know the season was dropping already at that point?
I thought a couple episodes were out. I didn't realize, like, when Brennan called me, I think 4 of them were out.
I was losing my mind because I called y'all, like, right the moment Tomura was waking up. Mm. Like, he woke up, and I remember I called you. I was like, motherfucker's about to die.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, and I was right.
Yeah. I mean, I'm glad this show now has, we'll get into the questions portion about that stuff, and we can talk about that. So yeah, thanks again as always, Rob.
Thank you.
Yeah, man, My Hero season 6, man, getting off to a good start. It's season 6 living up to the hype of the build up of season 5, and then also is a season 6 restoring your faith in the My Hero series, Rob.
I would say yes to both, though I don't know that I necessarily lost too much faith. I know some people we're down on season 5. I saw the hero stuff that they were doing in season 5 is like a kind of necessary training and level up stuff, though it was taking a little bit longer than I would have liked it. And certainly season 4 was so hyped to me with the overhaul stuff. It ended a little bit like wonky with the band stuff, sure. But then with the Endeavor stuff and then with the way season 5 wrapped up with the villain stuff, I was pretty sure we were in for something like this, though I didn't think it would be this level of heat every episode. I think it's absolutely lived up to us. I think when you look at what's out there right now, it's kind of My Hero and Bleach that are bringing heat every single week.
Yeah.
And it's tough to find somebody that's living up to that same level right now.
What, Chainsaw Man is not doing that for you?
I mean, I've only seen the first 2 episodes, but no.
But I would say, too, I mean, I'm surprised. These 2 shows, at their particular point that they're at, Bleach and My Hero, since their season's in, there should be no bullshit to be here anymore. It should be like, to the smoke, let's get to it, and that's it. Story, of course, but like besides that, let's get no filler, no laughing, and let's play another, have another concert. This should be all about getting it in. Brennan?
I mean, I agree. I agree with Rob. I agree with you. I think that they really pulled up. I never did lose faith because it was blatantly obvious that season 5 was a build-up. Blatantly obvious. And so I was just like, you know, I hope it's worth it. I believe it will be because My Hero has delivered time after time. When it's time for the smoke to be, when it's time for smoke,
yeah.
My Hero has never shied away. Never. Even like, I remember the first thing, one of the first things I saw was the fight between, what's his name? All Might and that Nomu.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, even back then in season 1, I was like, this show be throwing hands, you know? And
yeah, then, even when they were fighting Eraserhead, it was just like, oh, they're not fucking around.
Yeah, because Eraserhead was getting his head smashed in, it was bleeding,
and
he was like still trying to save all the kids. So for me, like, this show has brought the smoke from the beginning. It's had some dips, for sure.
Yeah.
But when you have shows that have this many seasons, you're going to have dips. Like, I don't know of a show that doesn't have dips in 5 or 6 or 7 seasons of a show. You know what I'm saying? Like, all of them do. And so for me, I'm like, this show is absolutely excellent. I'm excited for what's coming next.
I definitely see it's definitely living up to the hype. I do think my faith was gone. That's why I added that to the question, because my faith, because after watching all the other anime that we've been watching too, on top of that, whether it's like I said, the Demon Slayers, the Jujutsu Kaisens, I've been like, all right, My Hero is not even, wasn't even my thought process anymore. That's why I like I said, I didn't know it was coming out. I didn't have it when My Hero first was kind of hitting the streets. I was like, yo, I might put this in my top.
Yeah,
you know, in my top in there somewhere. Then after that, I was like, after about season, Overhaul was fire as hell. I would never take away from that. But I think around season three still, I was just like, all right, the show's cool, but it's not nothing that, I even probably had Attack on Titan over it. And after watching this, that end of season five, going into this, and seeing some stuff from the manga, I'm glad the stakes are high now. And leading into the next question.
Yeah, that's...
season five, anyway, where season six starts, do you think this show can now start to be mentioned with the Demon Slayers and Jujutsu Kaisen again? Because for a while it hasn't been. People weren't talking about My Hero like that. Those kind of took over. I think it will now, because we're about to see who's... It's about to be the survival of the fittest.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. There's no... You weak motherfuckers going to be... Y'all getting gone. there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it on both sides. It's like... There's no like, all right, maybe it's kind of like go a little soft. You can't go soft right now. No pun intended. So
pushing that rope ain't going to do it.
Yeah, it's not. You can't just stick the gummy worm in there. So, Brennan, how do you feel?
I mean, I agree. Like, I think that, like I said, season five was the only drop off for My Hero for me. And so it never was out of that conversation, really. It was more so like I understood what they were doing. You know, if you're really into it, you really love it. Like, I loved it from season one, to be honest. And I was just like, this show is dope. I'm in. Like, this, for me, is top-tier anime. I knew it was going to be. I knew they were going to tell a much bigger story, create a much bigger world, have the character development be the center of that world. And they did it. They have delivered. This is absolutely exactly what I wanted to be. This is in the conversation of the best contemporary anime. It will continue to be that. And it has excellent competition. Like you just said, Jujutsu Kaisen is a monster with only one season out.
Yeah.
You know, Demon Slayer is only heating up right now with only, two and a half seasons out, kind
of? But I guess with the manga being out and being finished on one of them and then further along in the other one, it's like that's where people go like, oh, shit.
Yeah, they know.
Yeah.
But the thing is, also, they know about My Hero. We all know, as you have pointed out, anybody who's read the manga is like, yo, like, this shit is about to go nuclear. Yeah. And it has there's no other direction it could go at this point. If you're caught up to where we are right now, there is no other direction this can go than pure nuclear.
I agree.
And I am here for it.
Well, I'm two chapters behind, too. Yeah, Rob, how you feel?
I mean, I'm with Brennan where this would, I mean, season five was definitely a trust the process kind of season. You know, I think there was enough for me to be hyped off of both the evolution of Deku's powers and realizing that there's like four or five more quirks stuffed in there that we didn't even know about.
Yeah.
And then with the villain stuff that it got me through it. I don't disagree that it's probably the weakest season, but there was enough in there that I was like, all right, I'm into it. I think, yes, you can definitely should be and can be mentioned with the other greats that are coming out right now. Absolutely. And I think in a way, and this isn't to like excuse My Hero, but I think Jujutsu Kaisen and Demon Slayer have spoiled us a little bit in just the jet set pace.
The pace,
sure.
It's crazy.
Like they just like you think about what they got through in certainly season one of Demon Slayer, but I would say even especially season one of Jujutsu Kaisen, like there's like four fights.
Whole arcs. Yeah, there's four arcs in one season. And just like, what?
It even ends hard body. Like that last fight. Yeah.
It's crazy. So, I mean, it's tough to say, like, obviously, they are setting a new standard of what these shows will be going forward. Because I think without these shows out there, you know, My Hero is taking a similar pace to a lot of the other greats that came before it. Mm-hmm. And while that's not necessarily like, I don't think that's really a strike for or against it. It's just, it's being told at a different pace. That's closer to like a Bleach, I think, where they're going to have some stuff in there that you're like, all right, like I could skip this.
Yeah. More traditional pace.
When it's good, it's fucking good. And right now
it's as good as anything else when it's good.
Agreed. So next question, could you have imagined the Nomus being this big of a problem after just one season of My Hero?
No, I mean, after the first season, like a Nomu showed up, there was no real explanation of what it was.
Mm-hmm.
There's no real explanation where it came from, how it worked. It was just like, oh, for me, it felt like a cannon fodder villain. Where it's just like, oh, yeah, this big black thing just showed up and you fought it and beat it. Okay, cool. The kids are saved. Mm-hmm. And they didn't really quell him. They just like, whatever. You know, they were like, cool. Like,
yeah.
All Might did it. He was dope. It was great. And that was it.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it was. So, like, no, I wasn't thinking about no damn Nomus. I was thinking about All Might. I was thinking about Midoriya. I was thinking about, like, you know, the froggy chick in the water and how she was boss. You know what I'm saying? I was thinking about Eraserhead. You know, I was thinking about the heroes.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't thinking about the villains. And that's a crazy thing for this particular show that, you know, they're making, like, the shift that they're making in the show right now is a big deal to me. Mm-hmm. Is that, you know, they named it My Hero Academia. They base everything around that we're watching around the heroes. But the real stars of the show are the villains. There's no question about it. Like, the reason we're hyped right now is because the villains are about to lay the smackdown on the heroes in a way that they're not ready for, because the villains have as much or more firepower. At this moment, I'd say more firepower than the heroes, and they have the willpower to do what the heroes won't, unless you're Hawks, of course.
Rob?
No, because for a lot of this, similar reasons where, especially after how season 5 ended, I wasn't thinking about the Nomus at all. Like, I agree with Brennan that I thought these were going to be like, you know, these, like, if you're looking at Power Rangers, these are like your buddies. These are like your foot soldiers, or whatever, from the Foot Clan and Ninja Turtles or whatever. I thought, and at some level, like, they are. Like, there's definitely that level of Nomu. But the fact that we're getting these ones that can think for themselves, that are constantly getting better.
It's crazy.
It's going to, I mean, it obviously Dr. Garaki's lab is gone, but I'd be a little surprised if this is the last we've seen of them. Especially considering how we saw that one female Nomu, like, constantly getting better, constantly, yeah. I think, outthinking them.
Thinking,
becoming a bigger and bigger problem for them. And I'd be shocked if we, especially given that we know now that these Nomus are made from the corpses of old heroes, that we don't start to see some more people maybe we know and like show up as some of these Nomus.
Wouldn't that be crazy if it was like...
Could be crazy.
Deadshot or whatever the name is, or the Eye. Whatever.
I mean, granted, you're going to have to not turn some of them to dust,
yeah.
But, you know,
yeah.
If you can, you know, get some of those hero bodies, you know, or even, shit, if they...
Some of the villain bodies.
Yeah, they could take Twice and turn him into a Nomu at this point. Like, and that would be
scary.
Yeah. That would be scary.
Yeah.
Considering that even just with his power on his own, he was a problem. So
he has one of the best powers in the show.
Yeah. Sure. And so, no, I wasn't thinking about the Nomus at all. And I think, like, the fact that we haven't even seen Toga go off yet, like, I don't think we've even gotten close to where the villains, yeah, putting all their cards on the table yet.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like you guys said it pretty much all for the Nomus for me, too. I agree. Quick side question from the chat. Are the heroes about to get KO'd?
I think some of the heroes are going to. Some of the heroes already got KO'd, you know. But I guess KO'ing is different because KO is just getting beat within the inch of your life. Like, being disintegrated, I would argue, is probably worse because it's like, if you got KO, like, he came back and was able to, like, hit the guy, you know, back. You know, KO was able to come back and punch the motherfucker. But,
well,
like,
I mean, even too, going into Rob's question with that, do you think we'll see any main heroes getting taken out? So now we're not talking about just, you know, just a side character that we see.
Yeah, RIP to Exilus and Crust, but
I didn't.
You're not top tier.
Yeah. Do you see a main character?
I don't want
you
to take my pick at all. Wait. I'm gonna write my pick.
I won't say necessarily anybody.
I'm
gonna
say names.
But I think we absolutely start
Brennan. Fuck Brennan's pick, man. Say what you said you're gonna say.
No, say your picks, man. I just want to make sure I wrote it down first.
I definitely think we see some heroes go down. If I were to just guess, I might say, like, Gran Torino, Present Mike could absolutely get it.
Yeah, those are good ones.
I think Eraserhead has come too close to death and escaped it for it to come back around for him. But I think even at the villain compound, I mean, I think Hawks is gonna live. I think Hawks is gonna be like a Lemillion or somebody like that, where it's just like, you live, but you're done, man. You're retired.
I think it grows back.
Capital R retired.
Yeah, I think Hawks comes back full on.
Maybe.
I think his. I don't know if his feathers grow back or not.
No, they said it. They said they grow back.
Yeah. They do grow back, but like he was in. He Dobby lit him up quite literally.
Yes, he did.
So that to be said, I do think we start to see some main heroes go down. I know who Brennan has for his pick, and I absolutely agree. Brennan, do you want to?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, for me, story-wise, there's no way you don't do this because he already had his moment.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He had his moment. It was beyond epic. He took his stand. He made the symbol of peace stay alive, even if it was for a short period of time. But Endeavor has to fall.
Oh, yeah.
it sucks because, you know, he's such a complicated character, and I think it's going to mean a lot for Todoroki in his development, character development, to watch his father die, probably saving him or his friends.
Sure. So you're saying All Might and Endeavor?
I didn't say anything about All Might.
Oh, okay.
I'm talking about Endeavor right now.
I'm sorry. Whoops.
So, yeah, so since you said that, I mean, probably All Might too. But I mean, All Might's death is just going to be really sad. Where
he's been on Death Watch for a long time.
Yeah, he's right. He's already like his flame literally went out.
Yes,
you know what I'm saying. So it's like All Might dying is like, okay, cool, but he ain't even really a factor no more. If he goes out, he still is going to go out like a Gia. You know, he's going to puff up and do something to save somebody or some shit. But Endeavor, though, I think Endeavor is going to literally go out in a blaze of sad, epic glory.
Oh, yeah. Just real quick, Jamoni in the chat does have a good point that Hawks is going to come back with the metal wings like
Archangel.
Archangel. Yeah, that'd be crazy.
That would be pretty crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'd say is that Endeavor has to go, and the biggest reason Endeavor has to go is because the night is the darkest before dawn.
Absolutely.
And we need the night isn't dark yet. It's sad. It's like, we're like, oh shit, they got hands.
It's sunset.
But when the villains really start pulling up, when the big guy who just woke up, you know what I'm saying, when he starts getting into this fight, I don't know what heroes are really going to stand up to him. You know, like, there's two people on this battlefield right now that I don't know what heroes stand up to them.
Yeah. I'm going to go with, I guess it's kind of the opposite of you, but I'm going to go to the counter of your Endeavor. I'm going to go with Todoroki.
Oh.
I'm going to go with Todoroki going, and that's what's going to make Endeavor's story go even harder, and him have to change some things, and him having to do some things depending on how Todoroki ends up dying, and having to do some stuff.
That would be crazy.
And I'm not spoiling anything. Shut the fuck up. I'm not spoiling nothing.
I'm just saying, like, this dude has read the manga. He doesn't get to guess. I don't feel like
I'm having some fun here. That's all you got to know. All right. But I'm not giving any spoilers. It's no. I promise, there ain't no spoilers in that. But I do think that some of the younger heroes, there's going to be a casualty there, because, you know, they're going to fall victim. I can see either Todoroki or I like Froggy, but I think, you know, either her or even Bakugo, they're going to get fucked up because of ego or whatever the case may be.
You know, it'd be really sad though, the pink girl.
Can
you imagine if she died in front of Midoriya?
I don't feel so good, Mr. Deku.
Bro. Honestly, I would laugh first. If you said that, it just remind me of that. I just crack up laughing.
Can you imagine what his quirk would do if he watched her die? Oh, it was his fault?
I think if that happens, he might kill people on accident. Because he's gonna lose his shit.
Well, we saw like a hint of what his power could look like with just one of the many quirks he has.
Yeah.
When he had the little girl on his back, you know, like he beat the fuck out of Overhaul, and Overhaul, I think, would probably have handled almost any other hero that we see right now.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what hero would have beaten Overhaul if it wasn't for Midoriya in that moment.
I don't know. Gigantomachia might have a problem against him because Overhaul could just like break him down into bits.
He can deconstruct you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then reconstruct himself with you.
Yeah, I think it depends how smart you are not to be touched by him. But yeah, that's just a tough thing. But yeah, I mean, regardless, there's going to be some casualties. Some heroes are going to be gone. They're going to get gone up out of here. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm here for it. I like the casualties of this show. That means there's stakes. I'm excited. That puts me into that. That's what I need in my anime from that. Now that I've been watching Demon Slayer and Jujutsu Kaisen, I need people to possibly die. Because it just makes it to where it's like, all right, or it ain't got to be first season or nothing like that, but like, all right, we're at season 6 now. You can drop off a few of these motherfuckers, especially since this show's about to end soon anyways. So drop a few off. Who do you think is going to be a breakout character besides Deku this season? Who do you think is going to be a breakout character? I know everybody's going with Deku being the number one hero right now, but I think I said this before on this show. I think it's going to take him a while to be number one, and I think possibly Todoroki or Bakugo is going to be that breakout first. I'll give it to Bakugo. I think Bakugo is going to have the first moments where he's going to probably be the number one hero when this show is probably done, and then, you know.
You mean the season's done?
Possibly when the season's done.
Okay, you said the show's done. I'm like, well, we already know how the show ends.
When, I guess from the manga standpoint, but I think he...
I mean, in season one, Deku said, this is the story of how I become the
number one hero. But I'm saying, yeah, I think he starts off as like number two or three, and then he becomes number one after. But I think one of his three buddies will be there first, mm-hmm. and then he gets there later, towards the end. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I do think Bakugo is going to take that biggest leap. I think when you watch, like you said, the fight between him and Deku, he has the best fighting sense probably out of all of them. When it comes to all the young heroes, his fighting sense sounds crazy, but he's actually hella smart.
No, he's super smart.
When he's fighting. And I do appreciate that, even though he's a wild card in that sense. So I see him sitting back watching, looking at, oh, Deku has that quirk now. All right, how do I use this to my advantage? Now I got to learn this particular stuff here and there. And I think he takes advantage of that and becomes has the biggest breakout. Rob?
Looking at just kind of who's still out there, and even based on what we saw this time, I mean, I think it's obviously going to be conditional, but I think they're setting up Tokuyami, and maybe I'm just colored by this just because he's one of my favorite side characters. I really like Tokuyami, but he has some really great moments, even the fact that he broke free of Fat Gum, and he's just like, nobody's ever done that.
The fact that
when he goes into the darkness and that his like demon shadow thing can like go head-to-head with Redestro, I think... I would love to see him be like become the Batman of the show. Just like at nighttime, there's nobody fucking with Tokuyami.
Yeah.
And like if there's somebody that needs to prowl the night, I mean, obviously he can't come out during the day. The fire with Dobby is not his strong point. But I could see him starting to climb the ranks a little bit, especially if this interaction that he's seen with Hawks and Dobby spins him forward to be like, I got to step up. I got to do more. Yeah. Mm. So he's my pick.
Did you say that was your favorite character from before? Or one
of he's one of my favorite side characters.
I like him a lot as well. Yeah. I like him a lot.
Yeah.
Brennan?
I'm going to go with Todoroki. And the reason I'm going to go with Todoroki is just based off of science.
He has the most upside.
Yeah, well, he has the most upside. But science, like, how is a tornado made? How is a hurricane
made?
Hot and cold, you know, coming together. Some of the most powerful forces we've seen on this planet come when hot and cold come together. And so if he can harness that, because the thing about this show that makes it special is that whatever the quirk is doesn't actually matter as much as how they're using it.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Lemillion's power could be one of the most useless things possible, but how he used it is what made him almost unstoppable. And so if we can get Todoroki to the point where he's using his two quirks at the level of a Lemillion, or you know what I'm saying? Like where you get to the point where you're doing that, like the shield guy, for example, I can make shields. Like he was scrapping.
He was.
Yeah. He wasn't just defending. Yeah. Like he was splitting motherfuckers in half with his shields. He was throwing them to help his homies out. You know what I'm saying? Like, and he ended up saving the life of one of the most important characters, Eraserhead.
Yeah.
You know, so for me, I'm like, I think that Todoroki, if fully tapped into, if he can truly unleash what he is meant to be, because he has the coolest power. You know what I'm saying? When you think about the quirks, but I'm saying it's the quirks. It's like you think about the quirks. Like if you could have any of these quirks, which one would you want? It's like a lot of people picking Todoroki.
Yeah.
You know,
he's got a 2-for-1.
He was literally designed. You know what I'm saying? He's a designer hero by his dad.
Yeah.
And so it's like if he can live and walk into that and get to his next level, I think he is going to be a fucking force. And so I think that is probably going to have to happen this season. And that's why I think Endeavor dies is because he's going to do that.
All right. Leading into that, is Endeavor ready for this villainous smoke that he's about to receive in these streets? Brennan?
Yes and no. I'll say that I love how this show doesn't let anything go. In the sense of one of the biggest moments of this show was Stain. How many times has the mentality of Stain come back in this show?
Several times.
And I think what we're about to see is the culling. The thing that Stain wanted to have happen, that you said the weak hero is about to get up out of here.
Mm-hmm.
Like this moment of what's about to happen is what Stain wanted. Like, it's not, I don't think it's Tomuro's, intent, but he's that powerful that it's like, if you're not powerful, you're not going to be here.
Yeah.
And so I think that Endeavor is powerful. I think Endeavor is going to be able to stand up and do what you expect the number one hero to do against overwhelming odds. But I think that it's going to be ultimately too much for him. And he's going to be able to make a stand that allows them to fight another day, but it's not, it will be his last day. Is what I think.
All right. Rob.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think like if there's anybody out there on the field that might be equipped to handle what the villains are about to throw at them, it might be Endeavor. Just because, I mean, he's number one for a reason. Like, I might not be the biggest fan of the guy. I think he's an interesting character, but like as an individual, he's still got some work to do.
But he throws down.
But he throws down.
Yeah.
Which we saw happen. Like when he came down there and like, I mean, honestly, like We were talking about like the Super Nomu that he fought earlier, and like, well, you know, it would have been tough. This is completely by the like on the side, but like Mirko took on fucking four of them and killed one of them on her own. Mm. But anyway, all that to say, just want to give respect. She's
yeah. so dope.
Yeah,
I hope she comes back.
We haven't talked about her much. She was fucking dope.
Yes.
All that to say, yeah, Endeavor was in there too. I mean, he was delivering fire punches and holding his own and, you know, whipping out all these kind of crazy techniques.
Wherever he was, everybody else
Hell Spider safe. And yeah. all kinds of crazy shit. Like, he's definitely the dude that's trained the most. He's got the most in his bag. He's got a lot that he can go to. I think that he's going to give some of the villains, I think, a little bit of a run for their money. But at the end of the day, it's going to be too much.
Yeah, I get what y'all are saying.
He has to die.
I think, not necessarily, but I think that it can go that way, or mm-hmm. he has to make a sacrifice and be like, look, I might have to have some casualties. I think if he goes, look, what I have to do to win, there might be some casualties on our end that I don't want to have. And I think if he understands that, I think it's hard to beat him. I think he's as strong as fucking a hero. But I do think for the most part, he probably has to hold back in general. If I'm him and it's me or that motherfucker, I don't know. I don't know if I just not let that happen. I don't know if I just be like, all right, man, so casualties might have to happen, but I got to go plus ultra 1,000%, whatever the fuck it is, and then incinerate that motherfucker, and then some people have to go. And I think people will be like, well, you know, it's either that or everybody gets destroyed by Shigaroki or whatever his name is.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I don't think he no ho, man. I think that he has the power to get it done. I just think he can never fight at full power because his power is a range attack. He can fuck up a whole bunch of shit at once. And I think he's going to understand that I have to do that.
Well, with all this destruction that just happened, he can finally go like, all right.
Yeah, they evacuated everything. That was the whole reason.
Let me just go crazy because there's nothing left to save in this area.
Yeah. So I think for him, he's going to be able to go all out if that smoke comes to him that way.
Sure.
I do think that. Mm-hmm. I thought, did Brent have another question? Oh, that was Brent's question. All right, next question. Do you think Twice was a sympathetic character, and do you feel bad for him when Hawks took him out, man? Rob.
I mean, sort of. I would say that, like, I do think Hawks is right that, like, deep down, like, I think Twice is a good guy that fell in with the wrong crowd. I think for that reason, like, there's a part of me that's like, man, you know, if things were different, maybe he could have been, you know, somebody helpful. Obviously, things didn't go different. That being said, as soon as Hawks had his sword to his throat, I was like, kill this dude. Just get him out of here.
Well, you have to.
Because he is too much of a liability.
Too powerful. Yeah. He's too powerful.
Too powerful. And, like, the fact that, like, and I would say just, if I had one gripe, it's just, like, how often do we harp on characters for just making dumb decisions? And this dude just made dumb decisions. He was too trusting. He was the reason. He was right. He is the reason that things got as bad as they did, literally by his name, twice. Right. So my sympathy can only go so far, and I'm glad he's gone.
Is that a spoiler, Jamoni?
I'm not going to look at it.
Don't look at it. Here's the thing.
I did.
Yeah.
I couldn't help myself.
Yeah.
Somebody else said that.
He said, no, it's not a spoiler.
Yeah, I remember he was still down there. But anyways, I don't give a fuck about Twice, to be honest with you. I gave zero sympathy about this dude. I was his story about the old girl with him and what's her name?
Toga.
I was just like, man, it's just getting annoying, bro. You love her and you're pretty fat. I don't give a fuck about none of that, dog.
Man, I just saw a lot of people on Twitter just like doing that, like the scene in The Cameraman where it's just like Wesley Snipes like with the single tear, you know, for the scene where he got. Where he got stabbed.
Oh yeah,
I was
yeah,
man.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if he deserves that.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I don't necessarily feel bad for this dude. I'm not. I didn't care that Hawks took him out because I'm one of these people that's like, yo, man. If you're on that side, and I know that the hero thing is always like, yo, man, we should be no casualties at all. But it's just like some motherfuckers. If you don't get them out of here, we're going to die.
Yeah.
And it's just like I think. Well, like you said, I guess he is still alive. But it's just like I think Hawks probably didn't kill him on purpose. Maybe that's what it was. Maybe he did it to where it seemed like he was dead and he wasn't. I don't know. But, like, I don't feel bad that Hawks did what he did to whatever he did, what he had to do, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
First of all, I think Hawks killed him on purpose. Very much so. He had to.
Yeah, he gave him every chance to surrender it, and he didn't take it.
Yep. I have a controversial statement that I haven't fully thought through, so okay. I'd like to precursor it with that, is that I think that Twice is the Kanye West of the show. And I mean, but hear me out.
Okay. Elaborate.
It's because obviously Twice was not okay mentally.
No.
And that not okayness, like, he originally started off on a better path. He was trying to do his best to help out. He was a cool dude. He fell into hard times for whatever reasons. And then he went off the fucking rocker, got into the wrong crew of people, and just ended up just fucking up everything everywhere around. Everything around him got fucked up because of him. And so for me, I'm like, you could say that's the same story for Kanye right now. That's pretty much what's going on with him. So I say that he is that. And I'll say this. I think he needed help.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
I think Twice needed help. He was not in the space of people that were here to help him. Mm-hmm. They were encouraging him to go down the path of darkness that was not going to help him or anyone around him. Obviously, they thought it would help them. It didn't.
They used him.
Yeah, they used him, but they ended up hurting them. You see what I'm saying? Like, he ended up, no matter what his intention was or what was going on, he was too not, he just couldn't do it.
Yeah.
He's genuinely a good person in a bad place that is a brain split in two. You know what I'm saying? Like, it just didn't matter. So that's why I say the Kanye West of this show is definitely Twice. And it is very sad, and I wish that he could have gotten help.
Hey, man. Fuck Twice. So I feel zero bad for him. But, I mean, that's a different and good observation, actually. I like that. So last question before we get up out of here. From what you've seen, who do you think made the biggest leaps from season 5 to season 6 out of the characters? This is kind of a hard question, and I guess you could pick
a hard one. Yeah,
I guess you could pick anybody, but I mean,
I want to go next.
It doesn't have to be even a hero; it can be a villain too. We know, yeah. I won't use him as obvious, but I do think I don't know. I think Todoroki might have made the biggest leap, and I think we're, like you said.
But he hasn't done anything, has he?
He had a huge ice wall that got immediately broken down.
He didn't put up the ice wall.
He did put up the ice wall.
I thought the villain put up the ice wall.
Different ice wall.
Got it.
This is when Shigaraki's decay was coming through the city, and he was just like, heavenly ice wall! And then like it lasted like 2 seconds.
Yeah, but I still think that there's some shit that he has up his sleeve, and I feel like he's going to be making the him or Bakugo, like I said before, they're going to have the biggest jumps in this season from their fighting skill set and even some things that they're going to have to do and have to fight. I guess I can't say too much. Rob.
Wait, Brendan, you said you wanted to go next, right?
Did you?
Yeah.
He did. Why don't you go next? Because I don't know.
I was going to say what I think Rob was going to say. That's why.
Yeah, go for it.
Eraserhead. All day. My man was
the biggest leap?
Dude, when we first saw Eraserhead, he could erase one quirk at a time for a limited amount of time. He was erasing multiple quirks from multiple Nomus at the same time. Like, this man was balling.
Yeah, Endeavor even turned around and was just like, you could be on my team if you want.
Right, Endeavor turned around and was like, nigga, what?
You can be my
sidekick? Yeah, like, you know what? We call it partners.
I'm teaching kids instead, but I'm good, yeah.
Yeah, but I was saying, like Eraserhead was showing out. He is an absolute problem. Even the Nomus, the first conscious thoughts they're having is like, that guy's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I have to get away from him. So I personally believe the biggest leap we've seen is that the first time we saw Eraserhead, he got handled by one Nomu.
Yeah.
Handled. You know what I'm saying? He beat up a bunch of little smart baby villains, but he got handled by the first Nomu we found.
How many Nomus he beat up on this one?
He pretty much disabled like 3 of them at once.
Oh, I said how many he beat up. All right, go.
He was swinging.
He
around,
was definitely on support class on this one,
but he was. I'm saying though, carrying like, those, that weight. Let's put it away. If he's not there,
for sure he carried
away. But I'm saying if he wasn't there, all them heroes are washed. Like I think they're all washed if he's not there because all the Nomus are even just like, fuck, I can't even do what I normally do, and they're still going head to head with the heroes.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Like they would all be dead if he wasn't there.
Oh, he was a villain. Ooh,
that's funny you say that because remember when the doctor was being carried away, he said they weren't trying to get. Their friend, they were trying to get Eraserhead.
Yeah, they weren't trying to get the teleporter.
They weren't trying to get him. They were trying to get Eraserhead because they knew if they got his quirk, it's game over.
Yeah.
Because they can give his quirk to whoever they want. There's no hero that can stand up to them because all heroes don't have multiple quirks.
Yeah. All you need is one Nomu with that and a gun.
Like, yeah, it's over.
That's it.
It's done.
Walking you down. Like, all right, Endeavor.
No! Well, it should be a fair.
Rob.
Someone please call 911.
I guess my answer is going to be a little bit of a cop out because I don't think we saw this person really prior.
King Mike said he's definitely a shield hero.
I don't really think we saw this person necessarily in season 5 or really prior to this, but I'm gonna give it to Mirko basically just for the representation of people with animal powers. We've been shitting on people that are just like, yeah, your powers are a frog. Yeah, your powers are a whale. Yeah, you're a walrus. And like, they like, okay, there's Rabbit Lady. What's she gonna do? Turns out
a lot.
She's gonna kick everybody's fucking heads off. Yeah. And murder a whole bunch of these Nomus on her own, stand up like 4-on-1, taking
and
one of them
seems
out.
Seems to be enjoying the process.
Y'all about to say she loves the violence.
She is having a ball out there.
Yeah.
So,
she was intense.
She has the wrestling skill, or does the other girl have the wrestling skills?
No, she doesn't have the wrestling skills.
No, I don't think so. I don't think she's got wrestling skills as far as I know. She's just out here kicking and just like, let me kick them. Let me kick this person. Let me kick them. Let me kick that.
Yeah, she's like, let me kick him in. I got to kick him first to see if he's real. I got to kick him first, though.
Oh, my God.
All I got to say is if she has all the powers of a rabbit.
Go ahead, man.
Oh, my God.
who are you today, man?
Get me out of here.
Who are you today, bro?
Get me out of here.
Go ahead, Rob.
No, that's she's getting my vote for most improved.
A lot of muscles.
Yes.
That's fair enough.
Rob, yes.
Yes.
All right, so that's the end of the question portion.
Who's Lucy?
She's old enough.
Oh, well, fine. Who? Her or Lucy? Who you taking, man?
I'll take the rabbit.
I'll take the rabbit.
Yeah, I've seen too many.
He did a zoom in of you when you said, I'll take the rabbit. Hilarious.
I've seen so many cosplays of her, and the women that cosplay her, I want to thank y'all.
We salute you.
Yeah, because y'all do a great job cosplaying her. I don't think I've seen a bad one yet.
What's
from,
character? Huh? What's the character name?
Mirko, was it?
Mirko.
Name?
M-I-R-K-O.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm talking about from short to tall, from thick to thin. They all have looked good from my point of view. Very, very. She's probably one of the best, I feel like, female cosplays that I've seen. It might be one of the most popular now.
You got nice legs.
Go on Meg Thee Stallion's Instagram right now.
Is she just about
it? She did that? Meg Thee Stallion is...
You know what's funny?
No.
Let's finish the podcast. This is about to derail us.
No, hold on a second.
Let me tell you something. Meg Thee Stallion is built like her, at least bottom half, for sure. That makes perfect sense to me.
Sure.
Shout out to Alicia Keys, too. She was a god of destruction.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
For Halloween. That was pretty cool. That was pretty dope. All right, so let's give our likes and dislikes of these first 5 episodes. And
yo, guys, holy shit.
Yeah.
Forget
all that. Swipe. That's what we want to see, all
right? Yeah, you're right. But I'm just saying, she did it. Meg Thee Stallion did that shit. She looks like her, too.
She killed that.
Yo, Meg Thee Stallion. Yo, everybody go to Meg Thee Stallion's Instagram page.
Yeah.
Give her a quick five. Give Rob.
There's another cosplayer, too, named...
I'm not mad at it.
Her name was like Exactly E.
I'm just saying,
she cosplayed her, I think, a few years ago, like a year ago. Her cosplay of her was fire.
Look, first of all, Meg Thee Stallion is Meg Thee Stallion. Let's just go ahead and get
for
with
sure.
that. But I just want to point out that like when I see a woman dress up in a cosplay for anime and be as on point and also as contemporary as that, she has to be watching the show right now to know to do that. You know what I'm saying?
Wait a minute, she's Todoroki Tina. I don't know if it's her favorite character or not, but she was Todoroki also. So she rocked with My Hero.
No, she about it.
Yeah. She's bona fide.
I mean,
and Meg, just letting you know, I'm about that life. I make pretty babies.
I mean,
I was going to take it another direction. I was going to say, you're always welcome on the podcast.
Yes,
but I
me
guess
too.
If you want to.
But definitely was going to say that.
Nah, I probably just ruined that.
And be honest with you, I mean, her dude is like, I think her dude is like twice your size.
Two-faced right cosplay. Yeah, yeah,
I mean,
Two-faced cosplay is right. Yeah, don't stare too long. It's like looking at the sun. Just a quick glance.
All right, likes and dislikes of these first 5 episodes. I mean, I let Brennan go last since he kind of like pushed it hard on us. Like, did you guys watch this season?
I was so mad. I was so mad at you, Keenan.
He was. Yeah, he was pissed at me. I don't know how pissed off.
I was pissed at Rob too.
But at least Rob was caught up.
No, Rob was
5.
Like, I'll catch up right now.
Yeah, I had a lot of work to do.
Yeah, I was so mad.
I had a lot of work.
I couldn't talk to you about nothing.
Yeah, I had a lot of shit to do. So for me, man. Maybe because I went in straight to these episodes from season 5. I really literally watched the end of season 5 straight into these episodes, like back to back to back to back.
Yeah.
God damn.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
She literally posted this 13 minutes ago.
Oh my God.
Dog, who was the dude that said it then?
Who was on Cameron?
Oh, Cam said.
Because we said look up the hero and like.
You must have just Googled it and it popped up immediately.
No, I was just scrolling through Instagram and someone else posted it and I was like, oh, okay.
Cool. Oh, okay.
Meg, and then we were literally talking about a
rabbit character and I was like, I wonder if that's
right. That is funny.
Yeah, that's crazy. She just posted this shit while we're recording the podcast. Meg,
she's a fan.
Yeah. She's a fan. She knew. She waited.
These five episodes were just like, this is what I want from this show at this particular point in season six. I don't need anything else. I don't need no more fluff. I don't need no more filler. I don't need no more bullshit. You give me this for the rest of the season, maybe episode two off on the side. You got me hooked, man. I was excited watching these shows. Violence. But it all made sense. And I'm talking about from both sides. I like that both sides were getting after it, too. It wasn't just one side just fucking up the other side. So, for me, after watching these five episodes, and I could be going off the ending of season five. So, if I am, this might be affecting my score. It is affecting my score. I'll be honest with you. I got to give these first five an 8,100, man. This is fire to me. I thoroughly enjoyed them. This got me hyped for My Hero again. I was super, super excited. And, Meg Thee Stallion added another 50 points today. 8,150. 8,150.
Let's go, Meg.
For that character. Hilarious. So, Rob.
Yeah, it's hard to find things to nitpick about here. If I did have to pick something, it would be just like, and understandably, when we look at the content of the episodes, like these are 23-minute episodes, there's probably about like 15 minutes of actual new content per episode.
Yeah.
I think they could cut down a little bit on the recap stuff.
Yeah.
Cut down a little bit on like checking in at the like with at
that
the,
is nitpicky
the base. Because like every once in a while they'll cut back to the like the central command and they're just like, well, here's what's happening. I'm like, I know this is happening. I'm watching the show. Yeah. You don't need to tell me. So that's if I'm gonna be nitpicky about it, but like that's we're fair. Seeing people have their moments, even like between the kids, between the pro heroes, between the villains, people are having moments on all sides of this fight. I'm hyped. Like, I think I watched most of episode five with my mouth open, just like, holy shit,
yeah,
this is going crazy right now. I'm very much enjoying it. And I mean, this is like probably my favorite stretch of this show was the raid on Overhaul. And this is like, they're doing that part two.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even bigger than that. So I'm absolutely loving it. This is exactly what I want to be seeing from the show. And like, as I've been saying for a while, I want to see the stakes on the show. That's kind of what was maybe taking me out of it, is that like everybody's kind of coming out of there, you know, lesson learned, pretty much unscathed. And like, shit is changing for real now. Like, there's no going back after this. And that's been really great. Where, Shigaraki is in his Tetsuo phase. He's got the red cape. He is going absolutely fucking nuts.
Shout out to Red Capes, Rob.
That's why I got the red cape on today. Shigaraki's out here rocking the red cape. Me too. I give it an 8,000.
What you got for us, whole ass Brennan?
Thank you, Keenan.
What you got for us, Brennan? Brennan hyped us up to us. Like I said, he called us literally screaming in my ear, cussed me out, was pissed off. He says, you fucking called me immediately as soon as you finished this shit.
Did you call me immediately? No, you didn't.
I just wanted to come in. Yeah, I came in and he was just like.
So listen.
Go ahead, man.
It's been a long time since I've had some show that I was so excited about that I finished an episode and had to pick up the phone and call somebody.
Demon Slayer, right? Or Jujitsu?
Huh? Jujitsu was probably the last time.
Yeah.
Because I remember I watched Jujitsu first, didn't I?
I think so.
You probably did.
Yeah, I watched it. I was like, nah! Like,
good chance. Yeah. It's a good chance.
Yeah. I just called y'all. I was like, y'all got it. We got to do this now. But yeah, man, this shit goes hard. Rob, I agree with your very nitpicky notes. I couldn't think of any notes you sent. But those nitpicky notes you just gave are every single anime ever.
You're not wrong.
Yeah, like that's literally all of them. Even Jujutsu Kaisen.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Like all anime does that. So for me, I'm like, they hitting all the hits, man. They just like, yo, you like this classic song? Nah, we do it better. This is the remix. You know what I'm saying? You ever heard of Chopped and Screwed?
This is Diddy on a remix right here, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Desert Storm. They really doing it. And so for me, like, I'm all in. I'm ready for this. I hope that they can keep this same energy. I feel like we're not even in, like, I feel like this fight has at least, like, three more episodes in it.
I completely agree.
At least three more. Because the thing is, like, it has to get to a point where the heroes have to escape.
They got
to
retreat or something.
Yeah, they're gonna have to. Yeah. They need to escape now.
Yeah.
They have to They have to reconvene because they're going up against a power they cannot fight against. With, you know what I'm saying? Like his power right now, unless you knew it was coming, there's nothing you can do. Yeah. You know, it's like the only heroes that even have a chance are the ones that can fly at this point. If you're a hero that has to touch the ground, get out of there. Like you got nothing.
Dire straits, yeah.
Exactly. Which makes me wonder about Deku. That's why I was just like, well, the only time he ever flew was when he had the little girl on his back. But either way, I give this stretch of episodes 80-100 as well, just like Kenan. I want to give it a higher score, but I'm only reason I'm not giving it a higher score is that I feel like it's just about to get better.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to have room to go up.
Yeah,
I'm going to be like, damn it.
Yep.
So if this was another, if the season ended right here, like, right, this is the end of the season, I would give it a higher score.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I was like, yeah, this is 85, you know. But because I expect it to continue to rise, 8,100, I'm looking forward to what comes next. We out here.
Oh, man. Let me tell you something, man.
All right, go on, man.
God damn.
Just shut up, Kenan.
Let's turn up, baby. That's what I'm just excited to turn up, man. That's what I'm about. I'm about turning the fuck up. And that's why we're the greatest fucking anime podcast in the entire world.
If there was ever an episode that we weren't going to say it, I feel like this will be the one because
we
didn't
there.
Do the work. He didn't do the work.
You know what's funny? I literally, by the end of the episode, and I don't even know why it popped into my head at that particular moment. I swear, I was about to be like, all right, guys, let's give our whatever.
Invisible Walk's asking, did Demon Slayer ever get all 8,000 scores from the first few eps? I don't know. But that being said, like, I think that would have been tough because what makes this moment... I think for me personally, what makes this score so high, which I might give some, if I haven't given Demon Slayer an over 8,000, I'd be a little bit surprised at some point.
Mm.
But this is literally, I mean, it's literally seasons worth. Like, we are now seeing, this is the culmination of like years invested into this. And like, there's some cool stuff going on Jujutsu Kaisen, but like, there's a couple characters that they killed. I'd be like, okay, cool, whatever. Like, you know.
This is not a new high. I guess I feel like we've given something in the 8,000s before.
Consensus.
Princess Mononoke got a 9,000 perfect from them. I wasn't here for that episode.
I know. Yeah, I gave it like an 85 or an 86 or something.
Oh, who gave it a perfect? Brennan. Brennan gave it a perfect? Yeah. Understandable, too.
Yeah, understandably.
I feel like those episodes of Season 2 and Demon Slayer, those fight scenes, I feel like we gave it an 8,000 somewhere. I'm almost positive we did. Yeah. Likes. I mean, not likes and dislikes. What do you guys want to do for your? Shout outs. Like that. You give him a shout out, Rob.
I got a couple shout outs this week. It is Halloween. Happy Halloween to everybody that chooses to celebrate. If you want to watch some spooky stuff, I got a couple recommendations for you. one is actually. They're both just stuff you can watch on YouTube. They're both some shorts. One of them is a buddy of mine was in a short called Night of the Day of the Tompkins Weed Monster. It's a comedy horror short. It's absolutely ridiculous. My buddy Forrest, who's literally one of my oldest friends, he was at the wedding. You guys probably met him. He plays the monster. And this was a short that was made by some people just trying to have some fun. And they made it in a couple days. It's wild. It's out there. They're just trying to make like something crazy. And I know they made it in association, I think, with some people that work with Troma, which is a legendary horror movie studio that, you know, where, you know, is it Trey Parker and Matt Stone? Is that the guys that did South Park? I know they got their start with Troma, with Cannibal the Musical, and then James Gunn, who, you know, did Guardians of the Galaxy, and you know, now is going to be heading up DC Studios, essentially, got his start with Troma doing some movies there that are absolutely wild. Let me just say, when those tweets came out, I was not surprised, because James Gunn is a wild boy. and my second recommendation, Deadeye. Short made by our guy Ice McGowan, co-host on the podcast. He's been working on this for a while. Finally just came out. It's a little 2-minute short, but I know it means a lot to him, so check that out. Both of these are on YouTube. The first one, let me pull that link up again, but the second one, Deadeye, is on Ice's channel.
Yeah, Ice McGowan. Ice McGowan on his YouTube, y'all. Check that out.
But the other one, the Weed Monster short is on Disc Media, which is D-I-S. CK Media on YouTube. You can check it out. It's a little 10-minute short. It's craziness. Check those out.
Brennan.
You can follow me on @BrennanProduces on Instagram.
All right. Ice McGowan on every single thing, all this stuff. Make sure you check out his YouTube he's also got some anime content coming. He said also check out his short. Kenan Baker on every single thing. Thank you for coming out to Houston again, y'all. I will be in Cleveland the weekend of November 11th. And my birthday is next week. So if they forgot, they're doing it on purpose, guys. They're being assholes. So
you didn't, what's next week?
You didn't remember it? Oh, what? You motherfucker.
Wait, I don't know what you're talking about.
My birthday, man. That's what we're doing out here in these streets.
Your birthday?
Yeah. Coming up? Next week?
You guys are some pieces of shits, man. I'll tell you that.
That's weird.
I'll tell you that. I'm not like Ice. Ice didn't even show up for his birthday. And they had never to get an attitude with y'all.
I intend to be here next week.
That's if nobody showed up for the podcast next week, I would honestly give you a runner. I'd be like, you know what? That was good. That was fucking good, actually.
It's a solo episode.
Make sure y'all always tune in. Leave y'all comments and stuff like that for this episode. And man, thank you for tuning in to another episode of Animation. We out.
And so anime was solved forever.